When it comes to assimilating into mainstream culture, no one has done better than American Jews. Anti-Semitism of the deadly sort that led to pogroms and Hitler is all but unknown here. When it does surface, it's seen by most people as an aberration of the lunatic fringe. Journalist Samuel Friedman has been watching a curious phenomenon develop with an American Jewry. He told Anne Strangechamps that the safer the tribe seems from outside threats, the more friction there is within. Life is almost too good.
In America, you're allowed to become totally American. If you want to say you're still Jewish, you can. If you want to say your kids are half Jewish, you can. But also if you want to have a Christmas tree in your home and anglicize your name, you can do that too. If you want to convert and become a Lutheran or a Unitarian, you can do that. And there's no penalty. No one's going to come around. The Gestapo isn't going to come around and say, aha, your grandfather was Jewish, you know, so you can't, we're going to drag you out of your home. You're going to lose your business. You're going to be put in a concentration camp. So assimilation in some ways is a fabulous factor in America. You know, you couldn't have Joe Lieberman having run for vice president. You couldn't have Jewish senators from Wisconsin and Minnesota and Oregon, these highly non-Jewish states. You couldn't have the producers being a big hit on Broadway without assimilation being a factor that introduces Jewish culture and folk ways to non-Jews in America.
You've written that where American Jewish identity is today or is headed is toward a kind of Jewish reformation. What do you mean by that?
Well, the trendy term for it now is post-denominational Judaism, and what that means is that denominational lines are really breaking down, that you have a lot of people who are searchers or at least nomads between the different movements. They don't think of themselves as being Orthodox, conservative, reform, or Reconstructionist necessarily. They think of themselves as being observant or not, and they might actually migrate sometimes within, say, the same weekend. A lot of them are young women who sit on the other side of the mechitza, the barrier between the genders in an Orthodox synagogue. And I'm sure on Saturday they're going to congregations that don't tout the mechitza, and some of them are being called to the Torah. So that's part of what's going on. But the other part is that I think that there's an ever wider divide between American Jews who are observant in any of the denominations and those who aren't observant.
But so what we have is a kind of anomaly in which the forces of assimilation have, in fact, ironically, meant that secular Jewish identity has diminished and begun disappearing, whereas at the same time, religious Jewish identity, observant Jewish identity is on the rise.
Exactly. You framed it exactly right. Instead of having assimilation waxing while religiosity is waning, or religiosity waxing while assimilation is waning, you have both, you know, on the ascent simultaneously. And that's a historically unusual, maybe unprecedented situation. And some of it comes out of actually an idea of the 60s, which was cultural pluralism. The secular or the assimilation experience in American Jewry is the fulfillment of the melting pot ideal. But the alternative to the melting pot, which began on the left in the 60s, and we see often as part of kind of racial identity politics, is cultural pluralism, and is the idea that hanging on to what's essential in one's racial or ethnic, or in this case religious group, is valuable, and that in fact it makes one important to America to hang on to one's own uniqueness. And these ideas ended up really empowering Orthodox Jewish life. For those who were looking for it, or for those who've bought into the idea of religious identity as fundamental to Jewish identity, there is this surfeit of great stuff out there.
For a long time, you know, the one there's one kind of unifying force for American Jews, and that was belief in and support of Israel. But that's really changed, hasn't it? I mean, the Jewish community is really splintered over how to see Israel.
That has changed a lot. Israel suddenly began to be seen by some American Jews as the Goliath rather than the David. But the other thing that's going on, which I think actually tends to break generationally more than politically, is just a quiet kind of drift away from the sense that Israel has any important role to play in American Jewish identity. And I think with the exception of kids, by which I mean high school, college age people who are in observant families, particularly in Orthodox families, there's been a real psychic disengagement from Israel. And I'm not sure it's even as thought through as saying, I object to the policies. I think the people who are arguing about policies are very engaged. That's why they know the terms of the debate well enough to be in it. What I'm talking about is a slower kind of erosion in a sense that Israel really has no bearing on their lives and their identities as American Jews.
Do you see that as a positive or a negative development? I mean, positive in the sense that perhaps Jewish identity is becoming much more multilateral, not so focused on a specific, on something specifically like Israel, or a negative in that there's a real loss?
Overall, I see it as a negative. I think Israel at times has had too large a place, like the Holocaust, in the formation, in the construction of American Jewish identity. And I'm not in favor of it being, like the Holocaust, the one thing that's trotted out in the absence of other elements of Jewish identity. But having said that, there is something really amazing and special about Israel as a country and about its role in Jewish history and about its resilience these last few years during a time of incredible assault from terror. And that should say something to American Jews, and that should be part of the genetic coding almost of an American Jewish identity. It doesn't have to be a disproportionate part, but it's definitely part of our story. It's not as if it's something totally disengaged, you know, any more than I think it would be a very odd or very emotionally impoverished African American who didn't see Africa having something to do with him, or didn't see, you know, say, the coming of freedom to South Africa as being a story that was resonant for him or her. And so something is absolutely lost in the disconnect. And the other thing that's lost is that you start to see, to the degree you see Israel at all, it's purely in terms of the conflict with the Palestinians. And you don't get any sense of what a vivacious country it is, you know, with all of this intellectual life and political battling over things not having to do with the Palestinians, and high culture and pop culture and the whole polyglot nature of a country that has Ethiopian Jews and Indian Jews and so on. You know, you'll ride on a bus and it could be almost as diverse in terms of skin tone as a bus in New York City. And if you don't know about that, you're losing something that could enrich your life.
Samuel Friedman talked with Anne Strainchamps. His books include a memoir about his mother called Who She Was and a study of the costs of assimilation. That one's called Jew versus Jew, The Struggle for the Soul of American Jewry.